From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a team of investigative journalists produce a stunning new report on one of the largest private contractors working for the U.S. government in Iraq.
We begin with the news from there. An American helicopter down north of Baghdad. Insurgents claim they shot it down. And in Baghdad, a military spokesman says the new effort to control security there is officially underway. This is where many of the new U.S. troops are supposed to go.
A key goal, control the sectarian violence between Sunni and Shiite Muslim militias. And a key figure in that violence and Iraq's politics, the anti-American cleric and militia leader Muqtada al-Sadr. There are signs now that he may be more cooperative. John Burns is Baghdad bureau chief of the New York Times. He describes Muqtada al-Sadr as not very well educated, but very canny.
It makes sense for him tactically to start talking about some sort of negotiation. But we've seen this from him before. We saw, you know, in August of 2004, when his forces, his militiamen, were on the verge of being obliterated by United States forces in Najaf, that Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani cobbled together a peace accord which allowed Sadr literally to slip out of the back door in the middle of the night, I mean literally to fade away. And he was saved by that accord. So am I surprised that he would start talking negotiation and compromise? No, I'm not. Do I think that it means very much? No, I don't. I think Muqtada al-Sadr's goal is to drive the United States out of Iraq, to profit from the chaos within Shiite politics and to emerge as something along the lines of what happened in Tehran in 1979 as the dominant figure under a religious garb of Iraq.
A couple of months ago, a representative of Mr. al-Maliki's government, that would be his national security advisor, Muwafaq al-Rubai, told us that Muqtada al-Sadr had signed a piece of paper agreeing to disarm, instructing his militias to disarm. He said, I have this piece of paper. Muqtada al-Sadr has never signed anything like this before, and this is significant.
Pieces of paper don't count for very much in Iraq. But whatever may or may not have been on that piece of paper, it would be no different than what Muqtada al-Sadr agreed to do in August of 2004 when he was on the ropes. What did he actually do? Did he actually deliver his weapons as he promised? No, he didn't. He delivered a lot of broken down and largely unfireable weapons to American troops. He kept his best weapons. And he built up from a remnant then of a few thousand militiamen to a force now of 60 to 70,000. Now, you have to know, without disparaging Muwafaq al-Rubai, where he stands in all of this. He has survived three government changes in Iraq, and he has presently hauled his pennant up the good ship Maliki. That means that he, like Prime Minister Maliki, depends for his position in the government on the support of Muqtada al-Sadr. Why? Because Muqtada al-Sadr's 30 representatives in the Council of Representatives represent the margin of Maliki's power. If he loses that, he in all likelihood loses the prime ministership, and Muwafaq al-Rubai will in all likelihood be having to look for another form of livelihood.
Perhaps another apartment in another city, I would guess. But
yeah, I think wisely, like so many former officials of the American-supported governments in Iraq who now are back in London and Paris and elsewhere.
We have read that Muqtada al-Sadr is afraid the U.S. is out to get him. He said that, I'm sleeping in a different place every night. We spoke with the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Zalmay Khalilzad, earlier, and I asked him if Muqtada al-Sadr is being targeted. Here's what he said.
I'm not aware that there is any imminent plan to go after Muqtada al-Sadr personally.
How reassured would you be if you were Muqtada al-Sadr by the American ambassador's response?
Well, I told you Sadr is a pretty savvy guy. The word that he would have listened to with keen attention in what the ambassador said was imminent. Of course, there's no imminent plan. The United States is not in a position to do that. And if they did that right now, they would precipitate an all-out conflict between themselves and the Mahdi army. That's not the way they want to do it. If you ask American military commanders if they believe Muqtada al-Sadr has to be eliminated as a political force, they will say, yes, he does, and that they believe that also in time will require the physical elimination of Muqtada al-Sadr as a political presence. Whether that means that they would kill him, I don't know. But there is an indictment outstanding against Muqtada al-Sadr, which has been held in abeyance by all three of the post-Saddam Iraqi governments, that's to say the American-backed governments, in the murder of Ayatollah al-Khoi, who was murdered within a week of American troops arriving in Iraq in the most brutal fashion. And Muqtada al-Sadr was indicted by late 2003 in that murder. And some accounts by eyewitnesses say that Muqtada al-Sadr actually drove past the dying al-Khoi, who was a very, very distinguished Ayatollah and a member of the so-called Marja'iyya, which is the ruling council of Shiism in Iraq, as he lay dying from multiple stab wounds in the street outside Sadr's stronghold in Najaf.
John Burns, Baghdad bureau chief of the New York Times, back in the States temporarily now and on his way back to Baghdad in a couple of weeks. John, thank you again.
It's a pleasure, Alex. Thank you.